From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, approximately 700 rockets were fired into Israel by Hamas and Islamic Jihad from the Gaza Strip over the weekend. This is the most intense conflict since August of 2014, when some nearly 5,000 rockets were fired at Israel. There is currently a ceasefire in place, which was reached yesterday. But the question is, will it hold as tensions are building in the region? The U.S. moved an aircraft carrier group to the Middle East, reportedly in response to intel from Israel that Iran was planning an attack on U.S. interests. Texas Congressman Louis Gohmert is here with the latest in just a moment. Also, speaking of the military, a new survey on sexual assault in the military shows it has increased 38% since 2016. But should that come as a surprise, given the intense sexualization that has taken place in the military over the last decade? Peter Sprigg, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies here at the Family Research Council, explains a bit later. And in its almost too ludicrous to be believed column, a San Francisco school district may remove an 83-year-old mural of President George Washington from George Washington High School. Why? Because it, quote, traumatizes students and community members, end quote. Yes, yes, you heard me correct. A mural of the father of our country is traumatizing students, so it has to go. Peter Kuo, the California GOP vice chairman, is here with more a little bit later on Washington Watch. Also, we'll be taking your phone calls a little later. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. Before we jump into our first topic, I'd like to once again extend an invitation to you to join my wife and I, along with members of the FRC team this summer, as we take a cruise to Alaska, July the 7th through the 14th. I'll be joined by former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, General Jerry Boykin, and former Ambassador to the UN, Ken Blackwell. We'll have a great time together, and you'll get an exclusive behind-the-scenes look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., plus just, quite frankly, a great opportunity to get away and see God's majestic creation. Alaska is beautiful. To find out more how you can be a part of it and join us, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right. According to ABC News, the United States is deploying an aircraft carrier, strike group, and a bomber task force to the Middle East on short notice in response to clear indications Iran and Iranian proxies were planning an attack on U.S. forces in the region. According to U.S. officials, late last night, the White House made a surprise announcement that the USS Abraham Lincoln and a bomber task force were being deployed in response to unspecified but troubling indications and warnings. Joining me now to provide his analysis, Congressman Louis Gohmert, who represents the 1st District of Texas. He serves on the Judiciary Committee in the House and the National Resources Committee. He is also a staunch supporter of Israel. In fact, Louis and I have traveled together to Israel. We've met with the Prime Minister and other leaders, and he is, as I said, a strong supporter of Israel. Congressman Gohmert, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always good to talk to you. Thank you. And it is an interesting time. And Hamas, backed by Iran, has gotten bolder and bolder. And I can't help but think that a good part of that is the Iranians continuing to work toward nukes. Now, there was an Iranian-American agreement that was a treaty. It never was ratified as a treaty, even though there were even a corker. Some Republicans jumped on the bandwagon, but it was going to allow and did allow Iran to continue to pursue nuclear weapons, basically saying in the agreement, though, they wouldn't create nuclear weapons for 10 years. But I've met with a couple of the two main investigators for the IAEA in Europe, and they said, well, we continue to file reports saying we had seen no evidence that they were continuing to develop nukes. And I said, but you haven't been allowed into their nuclear laboratories deep underground. And they said, that's right. And if they were developing, that's where they would surely be developing them. But they did give us a video of what they said was those labs. But I can't help but believe they have continued to pursue nuclear weapons. They're emboldened. And they had the help even of most of the American media, because, you know, as you reported, you know, about 700 rockets have flown in recent days into Israel from the Gaza Strip, which Israel unilaterally gave to the Palestinians, got nothing in return. And as I've told Netanyahu a couple of times, there's never been a time when Israel gave away land trying to buy peace that it wasn't used as a staging area from which to attack it. And that is certainly true. Now, there have even been people killed in the Gaza Strip, at least a couple, by the rockets not clearing the Gaza Strip to get to Israel. But there have been Israelis murdered, and it's getting very tense, because Hamas thinks they have most of the world behind them, and they're going to find out they don't.
Well, a couple of really important points that you've brought up here. I was actually at FRC, I guess it's been about 15 years ago, when the Gaza Strip was given away. And as you rightfully point out, it has not led to peace. In fact, I was in Israel in August of 2014 and spent a lot of time in bomb shelters. In fact, the screensaver on my phone is a rocket coming in from the Gaza Strip, as I was not too far from the border, and Iron Dome intercepting it and blowing it up. But the point is, we're hearing discussions about another round of peace, or a peace plan that is going to be put forth by the Trump administration, trying to work out peace in that region. And, you know, I hope and I trust that it will include nothing such as what we've seen in the past, where there is giving up of land, whether it's in Samaria, Judea, because that never works out. There's no negotiating peace by giving away land. Oh, did we? I think we lost Louis Gilbert. He'll be calling back. I think this is an important point. Because this is where all of the harassment of Israel has been coming from when we look at the rockets. Now, there's been a few from the north, but very few. Most of these have come from the Gaza Strip. And so this was the land that Israel in some part was pressured to give away by the George W. Bush administration, and should not be repeated. This kind of giving away land for peace just does not work. So it's I'm trusting that the Trump administration is taking full note of that and not going to replay these historical mistakes that have been made. I think the path to peace in the region, I've seen it in what's called the West Bank, the eastern part of Jerusalem, or I mean of Israel, is economic development. You have in Ariel, a city that is right there beyond the Green Line, where you have Arabs, you have Jews, Israelis all working together. You have an industrial complex that makes a number of products. It's a prospering city, a university there, a hospital, and they're working together based upon common economic needs to provide for their family. So I hope and trust that the Trump administration's pursuit of peace in that region will revolve around economic development for all peoples that want peace. I think that's probably the best way to manage a peace. I don't think you're going to bring ultimate peace to that region anytime soon. I think something else has to happen before that's going to occur. But back to this pressing issue of the attacks currently taking place there. Now, there's a ceasefire. But Hamas officials say that the Israelis' targeting of terrorist leaders could pave the way for a new stage of open war. And I think that Congressman Gomer is back with us. Louis, I want to ask you about this, because Israel is one of those countries that they're very effective. In fact, technology has enabled them to be extremely effective, where they can pinpoint targets, and they're taking out terrorist leaders in response to some of these rocket attacks. And now Hamas is complaining, saying this could lead to open warfare.
Yeah, well, one of the problems with what they're doing is they're hiding behind civilians and launching these rockets, and then they're killing innocent women and children and hiding behind innocent children of their own, trying to prevent Israel from striking. Israel's gotten very good at how targeted they've been, but still, when the bad guys are firing rockets indiscriminately and doing so from while hiding behind children, that is such an abysmal violation of war. But they figure the media, most of it, will support them when they scream out about, oh, gee, Israel is targeting their folks. Well, they've done so as best they can. But also keep in mind, when they launch 700 rockets, it's very expensive to send up an intercepting rocket to right. take one down. And right. so
those are about $100,000 a piece.
Yeah, and they're cheap rockets that Hamas is sending up. So they do need a blockade. And actually, Egypt has been helpful in trying to eliminate some of the weapons that Morsi allowed into the Sinai that got funneled into the Gaza Strip. But they're doing better. But Israel has just been amazing at their amount of discretion and holding back from just blasting the Gaza Strip off the map. If there were 700 rockets launched into Texas, Texans would be ready, as most Americans would, to be launching an offensive in, well, kind of like Woodrow Wilson sent down into Mexico after there were some American families killed by Pancho Villa's gang.
Well, I can tell you, if it happened in Louisiana, it'd be more than the Cajun Navy would be mobilized.
You got that right.
And there's been, with these 700 rockets that have been fired, and as you said, they've been indiscriminately fired, but I do think, from what I've read, that some more sophisticated rockets have made their way into the arsenal
yes.
of Hamas because
yep.
they've been able to go further distance.
Yep,
but
that's
about
right.
173 of those have been intercepted by the Iron mm-hmm. Dome. And as you pointed out, that's quite expensive. Do you think this truce will hold?
It will hold for a little while, but it will not ultimately hold because you've got people bent on killing Israelis. You have people who have repeatedly said they want no Jews from the river, being the Jordan River, to the sea. And even a member of Congress, I believe, has even repeated that.
Right.
So it is a mentality that is not given to peace agreements unless they're temporary and terrorists like Hamas think it gives them an advantage temporarily to catch their breath while they're reloading.
But quickly, does this have an effect upon the soon to be announced peace plan?
It should.
Okay.
It absolutely should. Thank
I
you.
I agree.
Thanks, Tony.
Louis Gohmert, as always, great to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. I said truce. I meant ceasefire. It's a ceasefire. It's not a truce. All right. When we come back, speaking of military, we're going to talk about the U.S. military. A 38% increase, according to a survey of the military, on sexual assaults. That's just since 2016. But should we be surprised with all of the sexual experimentation thrust on the military by the Obama administration? Peter Sprigg breaks it down next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, don't go away, because a little bit later we're going to open up the phone lines. This is the next topic in our next segment. It's beyond belief, so you want to stick around for that. But first, I want to talk about our military. Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan called for sweeping changes in the way the military handles sexual assaults and harassment following a reported 38% increase in assaults from 2016. That's between 2016 and 2018. Now, this is a survey, but based upon that information, the spike in the crime comes with of these activities come within the ranks after years of focused efforts and resources to eradicate it. But I mean, should we be surprised at all? Given the volume of the social experimentation revolving around sex that our military has been targeted with under the previous administration. Joining me now to talk about it is Peter Sprigg, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies here at the Family Research Council. Peter, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
Now, the numbers in this story are scary. Now, again, this is a survey, so this is not based upon actual crimes, but it's a survey of military members. The sexual assault rate for women in the military was at the highest level since 2006, which is 6%. 6% of women in the military say they've been assaulted. Now, the rate ranged from 4% in the Air Force to 11% in the Marine Corps. And this involves, a variety of assaults on women experiencing sexual assault were the highest for young women ages 17 to 20 years old. Now, Peter, what do we make of this? Are these numbers accurate? What type of trends do we see? And is this unhealthy climate of sexual assault the result of the policies that have been pushed on the military?
Well, there are a couple of things I think people need to understand to put these numbers in perspective. First of all, as you indicated, this particular number that was reported by Acting Secretary Shanahan that there were an estimated 20,500 cases of unwanted sexual contact. As you indicated, that's from a survey, not from actual reports of individual crimes. So, in other words, they took a survey of all of the members of the military and said, have you been sexually assaulted within the last year? If they said yes on this survey, then that was counted. The actual number of sexual assaults that have been reported as individual incidents to the military is much lower. It's only about less than a third that number. So on the one hand, you could say, well, that means that a lot of people are experiencing sexual assault and not reporting it, and that's a problem. But on the other hand, you could say, well, the larger number, the report, is really not a very solid number because it's just an answer on a survey. Whereas you have about 6,000 people who actually reported a sexual assault, not 20,000. And then it gets a little more complicated because there's two types of reporting. There's what are called a restricted report, which is basically confidential, where they won't pursue it. And then there's an unrestricted report, and that allows them to actually prosecute the individual. But it also means that the victim may have to testify and so forth. There are reasons why people may be reluctant to do that. So, you know, looking at all of those permutations, sometimes I think these numbers may not reflect so much a change in the behavior that's taking place in the military as a change in the attitude of people towards sexual assault or sexual harassment. And I think we have to consider the whole Me Too movement. The survey is only done every 2 years, so the Me Too movement really is since this last survey. So I think that sort of cultural moment of the Me Too movement may have encouraged more people to interpret what that happened to them as sexual harassment or sexual assault of some kind than would have in previous years, even with the same behavior. That's just a personal opinion. It's hard to really pin that down.
So the bottom line is that just because people may feel freer to respond to what they see as sexual harassment in the wake of the hashtag Me Too movement. So a more accurate analysis of this might come with the official numbers of incidents that have been reported and pursued with investigation, doing a comparison of that.
Yes, I think that's certainly the case. And for example, we did a report here at Family Research Council during the debate over repealing the law against homosexuals serving in the military, and found that it's kind of a disproportionately high rate of the sexual assaults were homosexual in nature. But that study, that was in 2010, that was based on actual reported incidents that were, you know, unrestricted reports where the data was published on the type of incident and so forth. That's very different from what's being offered in this survey, where we don't really have a lot of detail.
But quite frankly, Peter Sprigg, I would not be surprised when we do get those numbers where we can do an actual analysis of pre-Obama administration, where they forced all this sexual experimentation onto the military. And, you know, a decade later, I would not be surprised to see the actual number of formal complaints increase, because I just don't see how you can have such an intense focus on the sexuality of its members and not result in a laxing of the rules and the regulations as well. I don't see how you can do that and not have an effect upon behavior.
Well, yes. And there has been actually a dramatic increase in the number of reported incidents, and that more so than in the survey results, going from like about 3,000 eight years ago to over 6,000 now.
Mm. Peter Sprigg, as always, great to have you on the program. Appreciate all the in-depth work that you do at the Family Research Council on topics such as this.
Thank you, Tony.
And folks, by the way, Peter puts out a number of outstanding papers, analysis, reports on these things. You can find out more. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, the father of our country, George Washington, is now traumatizing students. That's right, San Francisco. An 83-year-old mural of our first president traumatizing students. We'll talk about it next. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage that's peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand-up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, a San Francisco school district may remove an 83-year-old mural of President George Washington from, ironically, George Washington High School because it, quote, traumatizes students and community members, end quote. Now, the work was done by a renowned artist, Victor Arnatov, who had been a communist. He was well known in that part of California, and this is a pretty elaborate work. But his 13 panels for the high school, which were created back in 1936, have been deemed problematic by the San Francisco Unified School District. Joining me now to provide more details about this absurd development is Peter Kuo. He is the California GOP vice chairman. Peter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be on.
Peter, if this weren't California, I wouldn't believe it. But is this real? I mean, is this some kind of joke? Or are they really getting ready to boot the father of the country?
Sadly, it is real. And we live here in the ultra-left coast of San Francisco, which is very sad to learn about this. Again, I'm an immigrant. I came to this country when I was 14. And this country, actually this state, has become unrecognizable when I first arrived here 37 years ago.
Now, who, Peter, who is offended by this? I mean, this, come on, this is the president, the first president of the United States, father of the country, and we have people that are offended. Who's offended by him?
You know, I think someone is really missing the critical thinking to teach our kids in terms of school. And I was taught to be, you know, fact-based, and then your faith comes after that, and then your feeling, you know, however the fact is, it should be last. However, they have completely turned that around. They are using feelings to educate our kids, and they feel offended because there was an Indian American American Indian, who was being trampled on the image, and that's why they were so offended by it.
Maybe that's a part of history. I mean, it may not be. There are certain parts of our history that we absolutely, at this point in time, recognize, hey, we made a mistake. There are parts of our history that were a part of the unfolding of the American story, good, mm-hmm. bad, and ugly. But the fact is, it's still our history.
It should be. And I just look at what happened to my own home country, Taiwan, many, many years ago, where, you know, we didn't want to talk about those things. And in China, there's a cultural revolution where they're actually, trying to erase their own history, which is, you know, now if we think about it, is wrong. The cultural revolution killed over 7 million
sure.
people. Yeah.
We're celebrating, you know, the recognition of the father of our country. Now, there's no human being that was a part of this country or any other country that was perfect, that did not make a mistake. In fact, there's only been one perfect person on the face of the planet. That was Jesus Christ, yeah. the Son of God. Other than that, we've all made mistakes.
Yes,
but
I agree.
When you look, and I think you're well positioned to speak to this as an immigrant to this country, there's a reason people come to America. Is
yeah,
there not?
You know, exactly right. So we have the saying, 人在福中不知福, which translates to you are in paradise and don't even know it. I mean, our Constitution has protected us from freedom of assembly, which is non-existing in many countries of the world. We have the freedom of speech. Again, it's non-existent in many other countries of the world. And with the right to bear arms, those constitutional rights are God-given rights that's given to us. And it seems that we are completely forgetting all about it, you know, in this environment today.
But with that, does that not undermine the very reason that people want to come to this country, what makes this country attractive? I mean, we're like disassembling it piece yeah. by piece.
Yeah, well, that's the reason my parents immigrated to this country, because they know there's a justice. This is a country of law. This is a country of justice. And it makes them very sad. And, you know, they asked me to get involved in politics, which I did. And that's the reason we come to this country, is for those rights that we have. And it seems that we're all thrown away here for nothing.
Right. Peter, before we run out of time, now, this committee, there were four public meetings that were held on this mural between December 2018 and February 2019. The majority on that committee recommended that the Life of Washington mural be archived and removed because the mural does not represent San Francisco United School District values. But as I understand, this is not yet a done deal.
No, it's not. So we will be working very hard with local activists to persuade them not to do that.
What do you need people to do?
Well, we need people to show up at school board meetings and ask them to join us and promote the idea that our founding father is why we have America today.
Well, I know we actually have a radio station that carries a program right there in that area. We'll encourage our listeners to connect with you. We've got your contact up on our website. So, Peter, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for standing firm there in California.
Thank you, Tony. Be well.
All right. Peter Kuo with the California GOP. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about this because, you know, we say, oh, this is California. But you know what happens in California does not stay in California. It begins to spread all across the nation. And this is a serious threat. Disassembling America one piece at a time. Don't go away. Phones are open when we return.
Happy birthday to you.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. Let me again remind you, for those that might be interested, you can join us for an Alaskan cruise coming up July the 7th through the 14th. Myself, my wife, and several of the FRC team members, General Jerry Boykin, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, former Ambassador Ken Blackwell, will be with me. Great opportunity to get away, have fun, enjoy God's creation, but also find out a little bit more about what's happening behind the scenes. To find out how you can join us, go to tonyperkins.com. Also, a couple of action items. This is what I want to talk about. I want to ask you this. Does it concern you, as Peter was saying, that we're making decisions for our children's education based upon feelings rather than facts? And we talked about California, but as I said, this stuff doesn't stem California. Will you, where will you draw the line? If they come to your school wanting to, and they're already doing it, by the way, the textbooks. But where do we draw the line? Is it time to get involved? You, as a parent, it's time to speak out on these things. Does this concern you that we now have education based upon feelings, making sure we don't affect the snowflakes rather than the facts of reality and of truth? 866-37 station on this Monday afternoon, 866-372-7234. Also, the Equality Act, which we've been talking about fairly regularly. This is a far-reaching piece of legislation, H.R. 5, which is in the top 10 of Nancy Pelosi's agenda items, will probably be on the House floor middle of next week. This is where you come in. Need you to contact your member of Congress. It doesn't matter whether the Republican or Democrat, does not matter. Your member of Congress needs to hear from you. They need to hear from you. And the Capitol switchboard number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. 800-224-3121. Let them know what you think about H.R. 5, the Equality Act, which would be a direct assault on religious freedom, not to mention a whole bunch of other things, expanding abortion, so on and so forth. It's just a bad bill. So give your member of Congress a call. You don't know your member of Congress. Does not matter. Give them your zip code. They'll connect you with the right office. Okay, 202-224-3121. All right, now to our question. Does it concern you that we're making decisions for our children's, I shouldn't say we, they are making decisions for our children's education based upon feelings. Feelings rather than facts. 866-372-7234. We're going to go to Michigan where Larry is on the line. Larry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Some 20-plus years ago, I got an email. It was a guy that was concerned about our country when you commented taking apart America block by block. He accidentally went into a large meeting that he thought was the right meeting he was supposed to go into in Chicago. To his surprise, he found out he was in the Communist Party meeting, and they were talking about how they can destroy America. They had a list on there, some 20-some agenda long, take prayer out of schools, get God off the dollar bill, get rid of the Bible, promote promiscuity, all kinds of homosexuality, promote these things. Anyway, it was all stuff to attack the fiber, promote divorce, make it easy. And anyway, I'm alarmed that much of these things have been coming to pass. And I remember the guy commenting that the reason that they were doing this is because they figured that they weren't able to militarily destroy us, nor economically, because we're too strong. And so they figured they destroy us from the inside out. And I think our prayer, National Day of Prayer, a prayer for our country should be based on us that we do have a real enemy. And I think it's very real that they want to destroy us.
And
it just amazes.
You're absolutely right, Larry. When you look at these policies that have been advanced, sometimes without, people say, well, you're saying there's a conspiracy. No, I mean, look, it's very simple. You tear down the family. You remove faith from the public dialogue. You begin to promote immoral behavior. It doesn't take long for society to implode. And the costs that are associated with that become astronomical, to the point that you have $22 trillion in debt, which is, part of that's driven by that, by the breakdown of society. So you're absolutely right, Larry. I mean, it is, we see America coming apart brick by brick as we have rejected the very foundations of this country. And we go back to George Washington, which is, what we're talking about here. Founding father, none of the founding fathers were perfect. But when we see the element of faith and the foundation that they laid, it's critical that be preserved and not jettisoned, as we're seeing happening today.
Yeah. Just to close on a positive note, Tony, I believe that with the National Day of Prayer and the many believers, scripture that you tossed around over the last couple of weeks, if my people who are called by my name will humble pray, he'll heal our land. And I pray to God that happens, that we'll reverse this thing and we'll come back.
Well, I am in agreement with you, Larry. Thanks so much for listening and for calling in. And folks, I agree with Larry. I think the Lord still answers prayers, but we have to pray them and we have to mean them and we have to act upon them. We can't just pray and continue to do things as we've always done. Now, I will say this. I am more optimistic about America's future today than I've been in a long time, in part because of the 2016 election and the resulting policies that have come forth from that election. Now, it hasn't solved all of our problems. We still have tremendous challenges ahead of us, but at least we have a fighting chance. We see the country in this really epic battle over life. But sometimes you can take hope in the fact that you're in a battle. And I actually think it's a battle that we will prevail in. I do. I think America is going to become, if we do not grow weary in the battle, in the fight for life, I think America is going to become a predominantly pro-life nation. Now, isn't that a whole lot better than just waving a white flag and pretending there's peace when babies are continuing to be slaughtered and murdered? I know people say, well, wait a minute, you've got a governor in New York who is saying that we want to abort babies on their birthday, the day they're born. I understand that. But have you seen the response, the pushback? I mean, as a result of that, a wave of pro-life laws that have gone out across the nation, there's reason to be encouraged. There's certainly reason to pray. And there's reason to act as well. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Mary in Kansas. Mary, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I was just thinking that Obama, when he played president, did so much executive orders. I feel like I wish President Trump would put a stop on all this history being torn down till they have to exhaust the court system and go all the way to the top before anybody else can remove something like the George Washington Memorial in California and all the other statues they've already taken down.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that it's just so destructive to being, they're immoral, they're not Christians, and I mean, you have to be a Christian to respect history, but it's nicer. And also on the Equality Act, I heard it on American Family Radio. They made a soundbite from a scientist in Germany. She stated this a year ago, May, that pedophiles should be protected in the Equality Act because they can't help what they're doing. They're born that way. So Democrats, Republicans, citizens, remember, you may be helping keep them on the path of destruction for all of our children. Because we've already had two in Houston that they let the city government let them read to children in their libraries. And
right.
Just remember all that when you vote. Thank you, Tony, for all you do. And happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers.
God bless. Thank you, Mary. She's made reference to the drag queen story hour. I don't know if maybe Sarah's spoken about that on a Friday. I know I haven't yet brought that up. But on two different cases, you had these drag queens that were reading to small children in this, you know, nationwide push for the story, the drag queen story hour, in which they had been convicted sex predators. And so this is the kind of stuff that's happening. And folks, you've got to be aware and be involved and know your voice makes a difference. Our country will only be preserved if Christians will stop being spectators and get involved in the process. You know, and don't wait, by the way, for an invitation. I'm extending you an invitation to get involved. Because I can tell you, those that oppose us are not going to give you an invitation to come and get involved in school board meetings, run for the school board, run for the state legislature, the city council. But you just need to do it. You need to do it. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Gloria in Oklahoma. Gloria, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so very much. I was just listening to your program, and I would like to say that I am very pro-life. I am a Christian, and I am very supportive and, of course, pro the sanctity of all life. I do appreciate the fact that the painting is of George Washington, but I don't appreciate the fact that there is a, from what I'm hearing, I've never seen the painting, a depiction of an American Indian, the original American, being trampled. If we are such pro-lifers, we have to be pro-lifers for everybody, for every American.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be okay if it was a picture of George Washington, an African-American, being lynched on the picture? That wouldn't be okay. And so we have to take into account that maybe one part of the picture is right, but the other part of the picture is wrong. And can we not find another picture of George Washington to put in the school after all the school's names after George Washington? But does it have to depict another human being murdered? and that's okay. I don't think it's a picking apart of America. That picks apart America. We're all Americans, and nobody is dominant. And if you are not a minority, you know, you have no feeling about this. And we have to stop thinking about, you know, the middle-aged or the older European white man and think about all Americans.
Gloria, I don't disagree with you from a standpoint of collectively we are Americans and we want to both celebrate and remember our history. My point is that, and it's not just, I mean, if this were an isolated case, we could probably say, okay, well, this is a particular case. This has been here for over 63 years, as I was saying, or longer. And this is, it's been there for 83 years, I'm sorry. But all of a sudden now, I have not seen all 13 panels of the mural, and there may be some things there that are, you know, reflective of things that have occurred in the past in this country that are not, you know, ideal. But what happens if we eradicate even the awareness of that history? Then we might be prone to repeat things.
And I agree with what you're saying. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
In this respect, are we thinking about the history of the original Americans and what they dealt with? Are we saying this picture is up because we don't want you to forget what we did to them or what you all did to them? Is that what that picture is about? Or is it about more about George Washington being a white man than it is about the original? Is that what we're trying to keep alive? Is the memory of the American Indian that is being portrayed as being not being allowed to be in this country when they were here first? I think that we have to look at things, no matter how long they've been there, that doesn't make it right. There comes a time when Christians, and I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. have to say, okay, let's look at this. I think, you know, like I said, we cannot have a picture of all the different ethnic groups in America that have been done wrong in a picture and say, well, that's history, that's okay. You try to put one picture of an African American being lynched on a picture in a school and you see what happens. But then there are going to be people saying, well, that's part of our history, so it should be there in the faces of these high schoolers day after day after day after day after day. Just a plain picture of George Washington would be fine. But we can't be the same people that say that we honor life and all of these pro-life movies and all of these pro-life, the pro-life movement. We do, of course we do, but we have to honor all life. And that's all I have to say. And I think that God would have us to honor all life. We were all made in his image and in his likeness. Mm-hmm. And we have to stop this segregation. A picture of a white man is fine, but a picture of an American Indian being trampled is fine.
Gloria, I'm going to give you the last word. That's it. We're out of time, but I appreciate you calling in. And, we're going to have to continue this conversation because we're out of time. But I do appreciate Gloria's thoughtful comments and the rest of you that I didn't get to. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you could do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.